Well, we've come to the main message portion, and certainly I want to talk about the meaning of this day. You know, when the body of Jesus was buried in the tomb, a large rock was rolled into its place to close the opening of the tomb. Furthermore, the tomb was sealed, and guards were stationed outside to ensure that Jesus' disciples wouldn't try to steal the body and to make it look like he rose from the dead when he really didn't. The tomb was closed. We don't like it when something is closed. You know, we go to our favorite restaurant or store and find that it has been closed and out of business. We didn't like it when churches were closed due to COVID-19. When Jesus' tomb was closed, reality set in for the disciples. It's all over, they thought. Reality set in. This man that we believed was the promised Messiah is now dead and buried. It's all over. We didn't see that coming. The disciples started to scatter, afraid that the Jewish or the Roman officials would come after them as well, because they were followers of Jesus. Some of them started thinking about going back to the fishing business or whatever other job they had, because this kingdom of God business is over with, they thought. I remember Yogi Berra, the catcher for the New York Yankees, had a famous saying, "It ain't over till it's over." And Jesus proved that to be true, because the meaning of Easter Sunday and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is that God is not limited by things that we think are final. On Sunday morning, the women found that the tomb was no longer closed. It was wide open. There had been a severe earthquake. The heavy stone blocking the entrance to Jesus' tomb was taken away by a powerful angel, and the armed guards who witnessed this whole event were as dead men, the Bible said, ready to be taken away to the mental ward. There are things we experience in this life that are discouraging and overwhelming, the results of which appear to be final. There's no hope for things to be solved or fixed. Someone has hung the closed sign on it. But the scripture tells us, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. And we see this demonstrated on resurrection morning. The apostles were shocked. They couldn't believe it, as we saw in the video, especially Thomas. He said, "This is not possible. I can't believe that Jesus rose from the dead." And Jesus had to come and show him the wounds in his hands to prove that it was really Jesus. I want to look at four things in our lives that sometimes seem final, but you know what? With God, they're not final, because with God, all things are possible. The first thing that comes to mind is death. Death certainly seems to be final. I'll never forget at my father's funeral service when he died several years ago. My brother and I were there, my only brother, and he made the comment to me, "Death is so final." And I wanted to take time to explain to him. I didn't have the time because it was right in the middle of the service. I said, "Paul, we will see Dad again." Death certainly seems to be final. When we lose a loved one, it's like someone hung a closed sign on their grave. There's nothing you can do to bring them back. Their life is over. You grieve, your mind is filled with memories and questions. It's very hard. But the lesson of the open tomb is that Jesus was demonstrating what will eventually happen to the dead. They will be raised back to life, just as Jesus was. And when we go over this story from year to year, it's an encouragement to us. Jesus set a pattern for us. He showed what is going to happen to us eventually. Even though we die, there's going to be a resurrection from the dead. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, I want to look at what Jesus said here. Revelation 1, verse 18, Jesus says this to the Apostle John, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." So Jesus encouraged John, and he encourages us. He's no longer in the tomb. The tomb is empty. Jesus walked out of the tomb, now glorified and changed. And he's showing that that is what eventually is going to happen to us. You know, the person who has the keys to something has the authority. He's in charge. And Jesus encourages us by saying, "I hold the keys to death and life and the place that people go to after they die," which was called Hades in the Greek. So Jesus is in authority when it comes to life and death. And if he says that when we die, we will live again, it's true. We can believe Jesus. He's the only one who was alive amongst us and who is dead and then came back to life. And when I say resurrected from the dead, it means life eternal. There were a couple of individuals in the Bible that Jesus rose from the dead, but they were pretty much resuscitated for a period of time because they later died, years later. They died again. But Jesus rose from the dead to never die again. And he's portraying for us what's going to happen to us when that time comes. We are going to receive glorified bodies when Jesus returns, and they're going to be eternal. They're going to go on forever. So death is not the end of all things. Death is real. It hurts. It's a saddened time. We mourn over lost loved ones. But Jesus encourages us by saying, death is not the end of it. The second thing that we think brings closure and is final is broken relationships. Not only death, but broken relationships. And in this life, it's sad when relationships break apart. And there's nothing that you can do to possibly restore them. In some cases, it's a marriage that breaks up. We lose family. I have, over the years, spoken to people whose children won't talk to them anymore for whatever reason. That relationship broke up. Sometimes it's a friendship that breaks up. Sometimes the people you work with, something happens and all of a sudden nobody's talking to the other one any longer. It's a very stressful situation when you know you're not getting along with somebody anymore, and we mourn over broken relationships. But again, the lesson of the empty tomb is that Jesus has, first of all, fixed the broken relationship between ourselves and God, and he also makes it possible for relationships between ourselves and people to be reconciled. Amen. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul is talking about what Jesus accomplished by his death on the cross. Of course, we were separated from God because of our sins. And it says, beginning in verse 18, "All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." So we were cut off from God because of our sins. We were separated from God. The relationship had become broken. But Jesus took our place on the cross. He became our substitute. He paid the penalty that we all owed for our sins. The wrath of God was appeased by his death on the cross. And when that happened, it opened the door for us to be reconciled to God the Father in relationship. And that's exactly what has happened. He goes on to say, Verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And you know what? When we preach the gospel, when we evangelize and maybe share our life story with other people, friends, you know, who are discouraged and depressed and who feel cut off from God, we can share with them our story and tell them what Jesus did for us by his death on the cross. That we certainly felt cut off from God because of our sins and our sinful nature. But Jesus, by his death, becoming our substitute on the cross, reconciled us back to the Father. And he has reconciled everyone, whether they realize it or not. And once they hear the good news of the gospel, hopefully they accept it, they believe it, and they accept Jesus as their personal Savior and realize that he reconciled them as well. Now, what does that mean for us in our personal relationships? You know, realizing what Jesus did for us and who we are now in Jesus, beloved sons and daughters of God, it gives us the impetus to want to reconcile broken relationships that we have. You know, sometimes, and I think we've all experienced being cut off from somebody else because of maybe an offense that took place, or maybe harsh words that were said, or certain actions that took place. We have the courage and we have the strength through the Holy Spirit to maybe take the first step in reconciling ourselves back to others. Maybe they're mad, maybe they're afraid, maybe whatever. They don't want to take the first step, but we can. And you know, sometimes all it takes is a phone call. All it takes is maybe sending a card or a text to somebody who we feel we're cut off from, that relationship has been broken. So God gives us the courage and the strength to take the first step. Now, not all relationships can be healed in this life, but there's coming a time in the future when all broken relationships will be healed. They will be solved. What we consider to be unsolvable will be healed and solved. But in this life, the main impetus is reconciling ourselves to God through Jesus Christ and encouraging us to reconcile ourselves back to others, whatever the cause of the broken relationship may be. So what seems to be final, what seems to be at an end, whether it be death, whether it be broken relationships. Here's a third one, pain and suffering. Pain and suffering. Today, physical, emotional, psychological pain seems endless for so many. Hospitals, nursing homes, and mental institutions are filled with people who see no hope of being totally healthy again. Their condition is a closed door. The lesson of the open tomb of Jesus is that God has provided a future for us when all pain, suffering, and disease will be eradicated. Amen. Jesus gave us a preview of that by healing people during his time on earth. But so many of us, even us sitting here today, are living with pain. You know, as you get older, it's a matter of adjusting to what comes along. As you get older, and of course we don't know what to expect because we've never experienced this before. Somebody says, why don't you act your age? I say, how can I? I've never been this age before. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm going to wake up with a new ache, a new pain, a new medical problem. That's part of getting older. And we look forward to the time when our change will come, when Jesus returns and we are changed from physical to spiritual. We're changed from mortal to immortal, the Bible promises us. I want to turn to Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 4. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 4, we have this promise from Jesus, talking about the time in the future when Jesus returns and the kingdom of God is set up in full. It says, He, Jesus, will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. So there is hope. You know, I'm sure when we think of somebody like Fred Capel, and perhaps he's having thoughts like this himself with the cancer that he's enduring now, the thought of the finality of it, perhaps. But as far as God is concerned, everything is possible. And the future that we've been promised is a time of no more sorrow, no more pain, all sickness, all disease totally eradicated. So pain and suffering is not the end. Although many of us have to live with certain things from day to day, by the strength of God, we get through each day. And he promises to be with us no matter what kind of trial or tribulation we may be suffering. So death is not the end. Broken relationships are not the end. Pain and suffering is not the end. And finally, the fourth point has to do with sin. You know, in our lives, we've struggled with sin. In many cases, we felt, I'm never going to be able to overcome this. You feel condemned. You feel just totally at a loss. You feel ashamed before God. But not only has Jesus rescued us from the penalty of sin, but the time is coming when there will be no more sin. And wow, looking at this world today and looking at our lives, you think to yourself, is that even possible? Because this world is filled with sin. You know, we read about the days of Noah when God told him to build the ark. Why? Because there was so much sin in the world. And as the scripture says back there, God even came to the point where he regretted having created the human race because things were so bad and things were so sinful. And I'll tell you what, I think we're probably coming real close to that in the world today. Amen. The time is coming, God promises, that we'll no longer have to battle Satan. We'll no longer have to battle the pulls of this fallen society. We'll no longer have to battle our own human nature when it comes to sin. Our sanctification at that time will be complete. And when I say sanctification, it means the process we're going through now. We're being changed by God into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We're being transformed by God. And sometimes to us it seems so painstakingly slow, but that's the way it's meant to be. We don't become sinless overnight or in a short period of time. It takes a lifetime for God to work at rooting sin out of our lives, and I don't know if we're ever going to achieve total sinlessness in this life. I sincerely have my doubts. That's why we need a Savior every day. We don't just need a Savior when we're baptized and repent, because the struggle is ongoing of putting off the old self and putting on Jesus Christ. Amen. But don't be dismayed. It's not the end. Our sanctification will someday be complete, and we will have been transformed totally into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So again, the lesson of the empty tomb or the open tomb is that just as Jesus was freed from the bondage of death, we will be freed from the bondage of sin, which the Bible says so easily besets us. And as we just heard our church president say, it's an ongoing struggle. You know, Paul said he struggles day by day, the Apostle Paul. But who can save us from this ongoing struggle? Jesus Christ. And he has done that. By his death on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins. We are forgiven of our sins, past, present, and even future. In Revelation 21, verse 27, it gives a picture of that time in the future when all will have been changed. The kingdom of God will be here in all its fullness. And describing that day, it says this: nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that doesn't mean that we will, by our own effort, become perfect by that time. No, we've been cleansed from our sin by Jesus Christ. We have his righteousness. He has credited his own righteousness, his sinlessness, to our account. That's the righteousness that we have. It's not earned by us. It's given to us as a gift. So at that time, all there's going to be are the righteous. Sin will no longer exist. Satan won't be on the scene anymore to tempt. And it's going to be a beautiful time. A time that, living in this world, we can hardly imagine. But we have God's promise on it. So the things that we think bring us to an end, the things that are final, whether it be death, it's not final. Whether it be broken relationships, not final. Pain and suffering, it's not a final situation for us. Even sin and the penalty of sin is not a final situation for us. Because of the open tomb, because of the empty tomb, we have hope. And finally, I want to turn to James 5 and verse 7, because James gives us a word of encouragement. We look forward to the time that's coming, but in the meantime, here we are, struggling day to day, trying to get by, trying to stay focused on Jesus Christ, trying to stay close to God, reading his word, praying, coming in as a family to worship him together. This is what James says to us, James 5, verse 7. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. I think nearer than we would all imagine. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So we've been given a commission. Jesus says when he returns, he wants to see us actively pursuing and completing the commission he's given us as a church and as individuals. And we rest assured that our sins are forgiven. We rest assured that the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been given to us. Don't be discouraged by death, by broken relationships, by pain and suffering, or by sin. God has it all under control. Amen. And we are part of his plan. Even though we don't deserve it, we are humbled by it. The only way we can have salvation is through his grace, unmerited pardon, demonstrated for us by Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful God we have. And the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. What a blessing. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of encouragement today. When we remember Jesus empty tomb, and how the apostles, the disciples, were dumbfounded. They were in disbelief. They couldn't believe that it could have happened, that a dead Savior would come back to life and walk out of the tomb and then walk into the room where they were meeting and encourage them and prove that he indeed rose from the dead by showing the wounds in his hands and feet. And as Jesus said there, you see and believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe. That's us. Amen. We believe by the faith you've given us, Father, and we thank you for it. So help us to carry on in our lives, in the midst of all the things that we're dealing with and the trials that we face. It's not over till it's over. And you have promised that you have overcome all of these things. And by your grace and your presence in our lives, we have overcome as well. So we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all this now, giving you thanks in the name of the one who made it possible, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we'll have a final song and